This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Shit show. Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday Sitzel Saturday, folks. How are we doing? Today's episode is a recording from a recent Shit Show support group. This is my online community for adult children of dysfunctional families, where we put the fun in dysfunctional. Now, if you are looking for a place to feel seen, heard, and understood like never before, then look no further than the Shit Show. If you are looking for a place where you can get real-time support and feedback from those who know exactly how you feel, then look no further than the Shit Show. If you are looking for a place where you can show up as your shit show self and be unconditionally loved, supported, and accepted, then look no further than a Shit Show. If you are looking for a place where you can find others who are committed to doing this difficult and at times extremely painful work of unshackling ourselves from the wounds of our past and becoming our true and best selves, then look no further than the Shit Show. If you are looking for a place where people embrace calling themselves recovering shit shows and enjoy cursing and can find the humor in this big old mess that we're dealing with here, then look no further than the Shit Show. See the link in the show notes to damn the join shit show. Come on, we're waiting for you. We are waiting for you. Damn the join shit show. Also, please give me a little follow on the Insta, on the TikTok, at Adult Child Pod. And last but not least, and as always, give me a damn 5-star rating on Apple, on Spotify. Thank you. Love you all.
They say that I should damn the join shit show. They say that that's where people go to heal. They say that I'll feel seen and heard like I have never felt before. So I'm going to damn the join right now.
Set yourself free. I'll let go tomorrow. I'm having too much fun torturing myself today. No, that's not really it. I'll let go tomorrow. The things I'm holding on to need me to hold them today. Yes, that's closer to what it is. I'm not enjoying myself at all today, but I have to keep holding on to my desires, my guilt, my limitations, and my worries. I'm defined by them. And so we hold on, and the ulcer grows. And the pain in our hearts from unfulfilled expectations keeps gnawing away at us. What we're actually putting off is the freedom we get from letting go. Yes, I know that what you're holding on to is important. Everything that I have ever had to let go of was important to me too. If it wasn't important, letting go wouldn't be a struggle. Just put it down and walk away. You've been given today. Will you use it or will you miss out on today's wonder because you're too preoccupied with holding on to things that are beyond your control? God, help me let go today.
I love the reading tonight. It made me break down and in tears for about a minute or so. Just a really beautiful reading. And I listened to the episode on grief, and that was a beautiful episode as well. Just, I felt very validated by all the different parts of the grief that I feel. And last few months, I've definitely been grieving certain parts and putting the body work to it as well. Something I have grieved just on the surface, and it made me realize that listening to the episode, was the way that I became a mother. It was completely shit show fucked up. And all throughout my daughter's infant life was just me and, well, infant and toddler years, just wishing how it could be so different. And that took me so much out of the present moment with her. And I was in such victim mode and I felt so ashamed and I felt so angry at myself and I felt so helpless. And just to think how that, and then just grieving the fact that I just couldn't enjoy motherhood to its fullest, because I do enjoy being a mother and it just sucks. It fucking sucks. The other thing I wanted to share was this week was actually pretty cool. It wasn't any fun, but it was the first time that I have felt myself and been fully aware of myself going into freeze mode and shutdown. And this is just, I've been doing some more research on it. And so last week I was really in like fight flight mode, just spinning my wheels and just adding more to my to-do list and doing all this shit and just kind of all over the place and feeling like I was productive. And at that point, I didn't really know I was in that fight or flight mode. I just thought, oh, I have a lot to do and I'm being productive and this and that and this. And then earlier this week, I went into complete shutdown where, like, at work, it was like hard for me to have conversations on the phone with people. I was like falling asleep during the workday, fingers, hands, toes going completely cold, my whole body getting cold. And so it was, while it sucks because I've been there so many times, and like, this is the first time that I've really just been aware of it. So I am coming out of that freeze mode now, and I'm just blown away just at the progress that I've made and the tools that I have in my toolbox, and I'm adding more and more to them. And I'm just realizing like how I have to stay with like some consistent routines. Like, routines are very hard for me, and I'm sure none of you can relate to that. But like, there's like, I like to do Qigong in the morning, and I've been doing this progressive muscle relaxation at night, and it's 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes at night. And I'd started doing that last month, and then it was like, oh, I'm feeling great, so I just don't need to do that anymore. And that really was, I don't think that was the whole reason why I went and into this freeze mode, but it definitely contributed to it. And I don't think that there was one single thing that triggered me into that mode. I think it's just that I still have a small capacity for dealing with things. And so as I'm doing this healing, as I'm working, as I'm being a mom, like, it's a lot. So just being able to give myself the grace for those things, it's really awesome. And I've also just noticed that I am like so much softer and gentler with my daughter. Like, before I thought I was soft and gentle, but it was really me having a lack of boundaries. And so now it's like, I have these firm boundaries with her, and like, yeah, I still kind of waver on them sometimes, like if I'm tired and that kind of thing, but the boundaries are definitely there. She feels contained. There is so much less anxiety coming from her. And like, we are just, our home is just like so much, such a more peaceful place to be. And I also, when I get frustrated or when I get angry, I don't try and hide it from her anymore. Like I say, oh, I'm feeling angry right now. Like I'm going to go take some deep breaths. Like before I would just suck it all in and like try and not act angry. So like that's been a big thing that I've noticed too. Yeah, I'm just so grateful for this healing journey. And like was said by Carrie, just that I can see that there is a way, like there is a way to heal and that the healing does come. And I think that's all I have for tonight. So thank you and happy to be here and love you all.
My daughter found me. I was trying to find a quiet spot. Yeah, I'm coming up on 2 years sober in the next like week or two. And I'm like thinking about all this, like letting go. There she is. Thinking about this letting go process. And it's working, right? The work is working. Okay. I know you're recording, so I'm trying to be quick. This process, like getting sober was like about 2 years ago. And then finding out about this program, well, about ACA was probably a year, around a little over a year ago. And like the way the dominant, like the way that it just clicked for me, like the letting go, I knew I needed to let go like probably about 3.5, 4 years before I stopped drinking. And I could not let go. I could not let go of this dream I had about this mom, this family, this relationship that I had. And when I finally stopped drinking and I put that down and I, you know, was able to clear my head, the letting go process, like it was like a cascade. It felt so fast. I got out of a toxic relationship. I stopped talking to my mom for real. I improved my relationship with my kids. I improved my relationship with myself. Okay, honey. So it's just like that letting go process. And I'm now like kind of on the other side of a lot of things where, you know, I've been the odd one out of my family for several years. I mean, my whole life, but several years of really like, mom is the problem. I've been totally alone with that. And now, like, since I'm not there for mom to take out all her toxic stuff on, the rest of the family is starting to see it. And it's so validating talking about, and she's so nice. So what do you mean? And all the things she did for us and all those things that are just like repeated, like a script over and over to keep us indoctrinated into this system. I'm like, I'm out. I'm on the other side and I will go because I have to go. So thank you. So thanks, Andrea, for this. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Hi there. So I was thinking about this concept of letting go, and I still want to get to my original point, but as I've heard people talk, the funny thing about letting go is that if I let go of something, I'm like 100% done, walk away, you know, clap your hands, like done, this is the end. If someone lets me go, I am 100% going to go to the lengths of heaven above to win them back. And I don't really know, you know, what sense to make of that. I just know that is the worst thing that someone can do to me is let me go. I'd rather them do anything else. But my major point was thinking about in terms of letting go. So we're coming up on spring break. I have a 14 and a 17-year-old, and my 14-year-old pushes every button I have. I mean, like every single one. And probably because she's pretty similar to me, my son, who is 17, is going to go on, like, look at a couple colleges with their dad. And I have a hard time thinking about that we are what, you know, like in 12 months, I'm going to be looking at a high school senior. I mean, I feel like he was a baby 2 minutes ago. I don't like the thought of that letting go at all. And there's a lot of insecurity as like, how good of a job have I done? Because once you do that, once you set them free, what? It's like throwing dice and for the best. I don't. Anyway, I'm not looking forward to next week at all, at all. I'll be at all the meetings that we have. Thanks.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, everybody.
When it comes to grief, I can't remember the names of everything. I'm kind of fried today. I have that enduring, what is it called? Someone can pop it in for me if you want to put it in the chat. But essentially, I don't have the relationship that I would like to have, and it is not a healthy relationship, and it is continual, and there's no signs of this person passing away anytime soon, and their way of interacting with me is just awful. And part of the biggest part of the grief for that, and I let it go from time to time, and I'll begin an interaction. It's like the waves are no longer like this. The waves are now kind of smaller. They're not as big and wide and scary as they used to be because I've developed boundaries. But this person just cannot go any distance in any relationship without becoming caustic. And yes, I could say, oh, well, that's their mental health or this or that, but that is painful. And what I have let go of is the grief whenever I'm having a wonderful time with my family over a holiday or something, and wishing that my family could be there, because that was the family that I had an idea of that didn't actually exist. That I had this story told to me of what family was, that my family never was, that lived on in my memory as sort of like a fantasy land. And then when they were around, it was never good. And so I did let go of all of that foolishness. But I have the grief of wishing I knew the person that my mother's coworkers talked about. I wish I knew the person that my sister-in-law's friends talk about. I never knew that person. And then I would fault myself, well, why is it that they had to be this way toward me? And that painful piece, I do give to my higher power as often as I need to, because that's the great mystery of life. And I used to freak out when someone I was very close friends with was friends with someone who did not like me at all. And I could never, like, what, how, I had this like very linear logistical way of thinking about it. Sorry. I got my hair dyed purple today. Can you tell? So I've never done that before, and I've never sat so dang long in a chair before. So my brain's a little fried. I'm going to stop right there. But thank you for listening.
Thanks, isn't it? The other type of grief I was reading about was, I think it's called ambiguous. Like, there's kind of no closure to a situation, or we don't know how something's going to maybe resolve itself.
Yeah, ambiguous grief. God, I'm just listening, right, and realizing all the different areas of my life where letting go, like, hides and sometimes reveals itself. A couple of years ago, making a decision to no longer, you know, to not communicate with my older sisters anymore because it's so toxic. That was a letting go. Like, I had to let go of a part of me that needed to or insisted that I can get my emotional connection from them, right? That they could show up for me the way I wanted them to, and to let go of, it's like really a control. And so letting go is like a surrender in a way. That's hard, because to let go, it's like, I feel like I've got to let go of this, I have to have something else to grab onto. And it's so elusive, right? Like, what is that and where is it? And I know it's in me, but having two older sisters who, you know, their narrative about their sub themselves and me was they raised me. And I was the dutiful pseudo daughter to them that just gave away all my power. So I guess to let go of, I guess, my ideal relationship that I wanted with them, I had to, in a way, I have to grow up. So there's that. There's also letting go of like something that never was. Like, how do you do that? I feel like I need to go back, right? And get my hands on that to be able to let go of it, right? I need to get it in my hands first. And the last thing that came to my mind was, I have a lot to let go of. I realize, and I was never allowed to be angry. You know, there were several people in my family who already had those corners marketed, right? Like, so I needed to be the one that offset all that stress for my mom. So if I was never allowed to feel my anger, express my anger, I could never let go of anything. Because that's in a way what anger leads you to, right? If you can do it in a healthy way, it leads you to a little bit of a surrender, like the end of a sigh. And like, what a mind fuck. Like, I have so much to let go of. I don't even know where to start. So I listened to the podcast, the episode with the siblings. It was the two boys and two girls. I think they lived in Hawaii.
Yeah, and Philly. Yeah, Sam. Sam's in the community.
I was sobbing listening to those people, these adult siblings piggyback off one another. Like, one was sharing their experience and the other one would chime in and say, hey, can I add to that? And I was just like, oh my God, that's what healthy sibling adult, that's what it sounds like. That's fucking beautiful. I don't know that. And I just sobbed and sobbed. It just like guttural, but I guess that's a little bit of a letting go, right? Mourning an illusion that I was holding on to, and then coming to realize I have to let go of it because it's always going to be an illusion. So yeah, letting go, like, I have a lot to let go of, but I guess I can maybe try and shift my focus to, well, what am I going to grab onto, right? And I guess it's my own strength, trying to learn how to regulate my emotions, trying not to spend too much time in my head fantasizing, which I did so much as a kid. I didn't really dissociate. I would just go into like a fantasy world. And, you know, the more time you spend there, when you do come back to reality, you're often quite disappointed. So I just go back to that. I think I carried that into my adult world. I think I do a lot of that. I just tell myself how I want it to be, and then I act accordingly, but it probably fucks with other people's heads because I must look crazy. So anyway, I'm just really glad to be here. I never really thought about letting go like this, and it's this format that prompts me to take it to another level. So thank you.
What I got from that reading, it made me emotional, as I think someone else mentioned as well. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that when it comes to letting go, there has to be a tremendous amount of pain that happens prior to that letting go for me. And it's really interesting because, and I know I talk about this a lot, I've worked my other program and I got really, really good, at like letting it go and having acceptance and keeping it moving. And what I have come to realize is that I wasn't really letting it go and I wasn't really having acceptance. And I sure as heck wasn't really keeping it moving. So you know, it's interesting because looking at everything from this perspective is so different than what I've been used to doing and what I've been doing for the past like 10 years, because I have totally not allowed myself to feel any of these feelings that I really can't. Letting go is necessary. Okay. I'm going to go. I'll be nuts if I don't let go. Okay. I'll be in pain if I don't let go. But what has to happen first is I have to have some real acknowledgement, and I have to go through this process before the letting go can happen for me. And, you know, I'll relate it to the grief. Okay. That was such a, my gosh, listening to her, first of all, her strength. You know, I was listening to her sharing her story and talking about her divorce and then talking about this second marriage to this man that she was literally married to for what, 5 or 6 months before he died. And I thought, oh my gosh, like just to be able to do what she's doing after that. But I so identified, and I love when you hear something, you know, I love when I hear something and it validates my feelings. And it's like, oh my gosh, like, yes, this is a thing. Like, I'm not alone. And when she started talking about that grieving, I don't remember exactly, you know, the type of grief, but, you know, the grieving of what I thought my life was going to be. And I have felt so, I've allowed myself for a long time not to even say it out loud, not to even acknowledge it, because I felt like I wasn't supposed to feel it. And just to know that I can feel it and other people feel it and it's completely normal and it's okay, it lightens the burden. And I think, you know, it's a process. You know, we don't come out of grief. It doesn't go away. It changes, it morphs, it's different, but it's there. And yeah, like grief, like everything about my life from the time I was a young little girl until now, like it's none of it's the way I thought it was going to be. But what she said, and I think just the way she said it, and I'm not going to quote it exactly, but what I took away from it was like, if anyone remembers, where she said something to the effect of like, the best part of what my life could be hasn't happened yet. When I heard her say that and mean it, it just gave me this overwhelm. I've thought that to myself sort of in the past. I've thought myself like, you know, I have a life and I still have life and there's a lot, like who knows, whatever. But the way she said it, it just gave me a true belief that I'm in charge of my destiny. I'm in charge of my life. And yes, I need to feel my feelings, but I can also say, yeah, there's a lot more that can happen. And things can, the best part of my life could be still to come. And I don't know, that just gave me such a feeling of, I think coming from her more than anything, it just gave me a really, it gave me a feeling of hope. And I needed to hear it. So that was awesome. I'm going to listen to more of her podcast for sure.
Something I'm trying to let go of that I encountered with my therapist this week. And I can't remember what the conversation was that happened before this, but I tangentially asked him if it's necessary to start to process the feelings connected to like frozen childhood experiences. Like in front of him or in front of other people in general, because I'd been assuming up until that point that I could like pick a time when I'm at home alone and then just try to like bring things up and experience whatever came with it, like privately where nobody else would be able to see. And then try to like practice reparenting in those moments, whatever. And he was like, no. and he told me that being witnessed and experiencing that is a really important thing. And so I guess it's a little ironic that I'm not on camera right now, but I'm realizing that like I have to let go of whatever the embarrassment is, or like whatever block it is that's making me not want to, I don't know if it's just crying or just like generally feeling in front of people. And so that's something I'm really trying to let go of this week.
I just wanted to piggyback on Kelly's share from earlier. And I really enjoy your shares, Kelly, when you do share. So just wanted to say thank you. But it just made me realize that I am really holding on to this fantasy of me and my siblings. They're not going to change. And like, I have such a big fantasy of them going into healing and being able to connect with them. We are so dysfunctional in our sibling relationship, and it's heartbreaking. You know, anytime you watch a movie or a show or see siblings out together, or even, you know, my cousins are, they're dysfunctional, but way less so than our family. And so they're more tight knit, the siblings are. But yeah, I just wanted to chime in and say that's something I should probably let go of soon. So thanks, Kelly.
Yo, sorry.
What up?
Hey, on piggybacking on what Eileen said, when I was just finishing up the adult children of emotionally immature parents, and the extent of grief dealing with that healing childhood fantasy was. You know, I had listened to the audiobook, and then so much of that was in that is just like this fantasy of having this different family life or whatever it was. And I think that I held on to that for probably 30 years. And it wasn't until we started really doing this work, probably, or I started doing meditation work 3 or 4 years ago, and then this work, is that I was starting to gain the tools to let that fantasy go, but to actually read it and have it acknowledged in writing that it exists in your consciousness, and it's not some sort of fantasy. It's actually a real thing that we those feelings we have are real about mourning our family. So, and I had always thought that it was some sort of nightmare or, you know, fantasy. Anyway, but yeah, that aspect of grief is something that was pretty compelling to me.